Hello, friends. Welcome to the Functional Nurse Practitioner Podcast. I'm a board-certified family nurse practitioner who believes in utilizing functional medicine strategies in order to provide a more comprehensive approach for optimal health. The current model of care in healthcare is very lacking, which led me down the road of functional medicine. Functional medicine is a systems biology approach, which looks at uncovering the root causes for the symptoms we are having in order to allow for healing versus simply applying a band-aid to the situation. I believe we need an integrative approach of both conventional and functional medicine in order to provide the best care possible. I feel so strongly about this that I had to leave my conventional medicine practice. While conventional medicine thrives with acute care issues, there is much to be desired with regards to chronic conditions. No longer could I practice in an institution where volume of patients rather than optimization of health was its driving force. I started my own practice, specializing in functional medicine, where I work with my clients to uncover their unique story. Utilizing the functional medicine timeline and matrix, identifying the antecedents, triggers, and mediators driving the disease process assists with getting to the root causes of the symptoms in order to allow for healing. This personalized approach leads to improved health outcomes. If you want to work with me and live in Indiana, head on over to my website at www.thefunctionalnursepractitioner.com and click the link to book your free introductory call. Just a quick disclaimer that this podcast is meant for educational purposes only and is not meant to diagnose or be a substitute for medical advice from your practitioner. Also, if you like what you hear on this show, I would be real appreciative if you would leave a review on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you're listening from, and subscribe to the show. Okay, on to today's episode. This is episode 4 of season 2, number 55 overall. We've got friends listening from over 46 countries around the world, including Germany, Denmark, Iraq, and Israel. Today, my friends, we are going to discuss a very hot topic, NF-kappa-B. What is NF-kappa-B? Well, today, we are diving deep into this topic. Friends, you want to know this information. You need to know this information. Who is this episode for? Do you suffer with autoimmunity, diabetes, atherosclerosis, asthma, eczema, osteoporosis? Do you have pain, fatigue? Are you battling with any chronic conditions? You likely have an upregulated NF-kappa-B. Approximately 1 in 3 adults worldwide have multiple chronic conditions. This is a must-not-miss episode, my friends. Today's show was prompted by a question from Eric. Eric asked, with inflammation, are there any other strategies aside from taking ibuprofen that can help? I read that chronic use of ibuprofen is not good for my health. Thank you, Eric, for your question. As a reminder, if you have an idea for a show or question or comment, send me a DM, email, comment on a YouTube video, and I will give you a shout out. I do not have the background on what type of inflammation Eric is referencing, but today we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of one of the keystone players in inflammation and what to do about it. Today's outline: segment 1, what is NF-kappa-B? Segment 2, activation mechanisms. Segment 3, NF-kappa-B's impact on cellular functions. Segment 4, NF-kappa-B's implications with health and disease. And segment 5, modulating NF-kappa-B activity. Today I'm trying something new. I'm not going to delineate the segments. I feel there would be a lot of repetition if we proceeded in that fashion with this particular subject. So we will be sprinkling in impact on cellular function with activation mechanisms, as well as the implications of NF-kappa-B activation with chronic conditions, our overall health and disease. The last section, however, will be separated, as I want to provide you with a comprehensive approach to modulating NF-kappa-B that you can circle back to anytime with ease. If you are not receiving my newsletter, click the link in the show notes so you can be added to the list. I will be sending out a dedicated newsletter with viable tips and tricks for modulating NF-kappa-B. I promise to not make this information too dense for an enjoyable conversation. As always, I am well prepared. Let's lean into NF-kappa-B. NF-kappa-B, short for nuclear factor kappa light chain enhancer of activated B cells. That's a mouthful. NF-kappa-B plays a crucial role in our cells, helping to regulate our body's natural defense system, known as the innate immune system. Friends, you know I absolutely love talking about the immune system. Let's zero in for a minute on our fabulous immune system. I think it will help with better understanding today's important topic. The immune system is a complex network of cells, tissues, and organs working together to defend the body against harmful pathogens like bacteria, viruses, and fungi. It comprises two main types of immunity, innate and adaptive. Innate immunity acts as the body's first line of defense, offering immediate, non-specific protection. It includes physical barriers like the skin, mucous membranes, and certain immune cells like neutrophils and macrophages. Conversely, adaptive immunity is a more specialized and targeted defense mechanism. It involves the recognition of specific pathogens and the creation of tailored responses through T and B lymphocytes. Adaptive immunity is characterized by immunological memory, enabling the body to remember previous encounters with pathogens and mount quicker and more effective responses upon subsequent exposure, leading to long-term immunity. This is a very broad overview, and we will get more specific in a future episode when we dive deeper into autoimmune conditions. Be sure you are subscribed to the show and click that notification bell so you never miss an episode. Both innate and adaptive immunity work in tandem to provide comprehensive protection against a wide array of threats to the body's health. When I think of NF-kappa-B, I think of a team of proteins that control the activity of many genes, influencing a wide range of things our body does. Normally, it's kept in check by other proteins, staying quiet in a part of the cell called the cytoplasm. But when our cells get signals from the environment, like when we're dealing with infections, inflammation, or stress, this NF-kappa-B team gets activated. It moves into the cell's control center, the nucleus, and starts managing genes that are involved in our body's defense, inflammation, and even deciding whether cells should live or die. This team has a dual role, sometimes causing inflammation, and at other times, calming it down. But when this team's activity goes out of control, it can lead to various health issues like autoimmune diseases, cancer, and even neurological problems. Understanding how NF-kappa-B works gives us clues on how to tackle these health conditions. NF-kappa-B is a master regulator within our cells, governing a wide range of biological processes. It belongs to a family of transcription factors responsible for controlling the expression of numerous genes involved in various cellular responses. Its primary role revolves around managing the body's immune response, particularly the innate immune system, our first line of defense against infections, pathogens. In essence, NF-kappa-B acts as a key player in cellular communication and response. Its ability to influence such a wide array of biological functions underscores its significance in maintaining cellular balance and defending the body against threats. while also highlighting its potential role in various diseases when its regulation goes awry. I know we are covering some highly dense information. This is so very important, my friends. Transcription factors have the ability to manage gene expression. You know what a genetics nerd I am. How freaking cool is this? Am I the only one who gets super hyped up by this info? Transcription factors manage gene expression in two ways. They can either stimulate RNA polymerase to start making mRNA, effectively switching the gene on, or they can hinder RNA polymerase's activity, essentially turning the gene off. These factors generally fall into three categories: general, specific, and transcription factors. Apart from NF-kappa B, there are several other transcription factors that play critical roles in gene regulation and cellular functions, such as P53 and NRF2. P53 is a tumor suppressor protein involved in preventing the growth of abnormal cells by regulating cell division and apoptosis. It responds to cellular stress and DNA damage, controlling the expression of genes involved in cell cycle arrest, DNA repair, and apoptosis. NRF2, nuclear factor erythroid 2 related factor 2, is a key regulator of cellular antioxidant responses. When activated by oxidative stress, it enters the cell nucleus and activates genes involved in antioxidant defense, detoxification, and other cytoprotective mechanisms. These transcription factors, including NF-kappa B, operate as molecular switches, responding to different signals and orchestrating the expression of specific sets of genes. They play vital roles in maintaining cellular homeostasis, responding to environmental cues, and regulating various biological processes critical for normal cell function and health. NF-kappa B boasts a complex structure and operates through intricate activation mechanisms, offering significant insights into its functionality within cellular biology. The activation of NF-kappa B involves sophisticated signaling pathways that respond to various extracellular stimuli, including pathogens, cytokines, remember cytokines, stress signals, and growth factors. One of the primary activation pathways, known as the canonical pathway, relies on the degradation of inhibitors called I-kappa Bs, inhibitor of kappa B, to unleash NF-kappa B's activity. In response to external triggers, such as inflammatory signals or stress, I-kappa Bs are tagged for degradation via phosphorylation, liberating NF-kappa B. I mentioned a new word, phosphorylation. I want to underscore this with a quick sidebar. Phosphorylation is a fundamental biochemical process crucial for various cellular functions in living organisms. It involves the addition of a phosphate group to a molecule, typically a protein, lipid, or nucleotide, by enzymes called kinases. This modification alters the structure and properties of the molecule, leading to changes in its activity, function, localization, or interaction with other molecules within the cell. In proteins, phosphorylation often occurs on specific amino acids such as serine, threonine, and tyrosine residues, termed phosphoserine, phosphothreonine, and phosphotyrosine, respectively. These modifications serve as a rapid and reversible way to modulate protein function, influencing processes like signal transduction, enzyme activity, cell cycle progression, gene expression, and various cellular responses. Cellular signaling pathways heavily rely on phosphorylation cascades, where a series of kinases sequentially phosphorylate and activate downstream proteins. For instance, in signal transduction pathways initiated by growth factors or hormones. Phosphorylation events relay the extracellular signal to the cell's interior, ultimately affecting gene expression or triggering specific cellular responses. Phosphorylation also plays a crucial role in controlling metabolic pathways. For example, in glycolysis, which is the metabolic process that breaks down glucose into pyruvate, one of the ways in which we generate ATP, or energy, for our bodies. The first step involves the phosphorylation of glucose to glucose-6-phosphate, facilitating its breakdown. Additionally, ATP, the primary energy currency of cells, is generated through phosphorylation during cellular respiration. The reversible nature of phosphorylation, mediated by enzymes called phosphatases that remove phosphate groups, allows for dynamic regulation and fine-tuning of cellular processes. Dysregulation of phosphorylation events can lead to various diseases, including cancer, neurodegenerative disorders, and metabolic syndromes. Therefore, understanding phosphorylation mechanisms is essential for deciphering cellular functions and developing targeted therapeutic interventions. This liberation allows activated NF-kappa-B to translocate into the nucleus, where it binds to specific DNA sequences located near target genes. Once bound to DNA, NF-kappa-B modulates the expression of a broad spectrum of genes involved in immunity, inflammation, cell survival, and other cellular responses. Several factors can activate NF-kappa-B, triggering its signaling pathway. You know I love lists. I've got 9 common activators of NF-kappa-B. This is not an exhaustive list. Number 1. Inflammatory cytokines. Inflammatory cytokines like tumor necrosis factor alpha, TNF-alpha, interleukin-1, IL-1, and interleukin-6, IL-6, can all stimulate NF-kappa-B. Number 2, pathogen-associated molecular patterns, or PAMPs. PAMPs, like bacterial lipopolysaccharides, LPS, we have talked in depth about lipopolysaccharides in previous episodes. Viral nucleic acids and other microbial components are recognized by specific pathogen recognition receptors, PRRs, such as toll-like receptors and NOD-like receptors. Upon binding of PAMPs to their corresponding PRRs, a signaling cascade is initiated, leading to the activation of downstream signaling molecules. These signaling intermediates converge at the activation of the I-kappa-B kinase, IKK complex. The IKK complex phosphorylates the inhibitory protein I-kappa-B, marking it for ubiquination and subsequent degradation by the proteasome. This degradation of I-kappa-B allows the liberated NF-kappa-B dimers to translocate into the nucleus, where they bind to specific DNA. Once bound to DNA, NF-kappa-B regulates the transcription of genes involved in various immune and inflammatory responses, including cytokines, the 3 we mentioned, chemokines, and other protein associated with antimicrobial defense. Number 3, damage-associated molecular patterns, or DAMPs. DAMPs are endogenous molecules released by stressed, injured, or dying cells as a result of tissue damage, trauma, or cellular stress. These molecules act as danger signals, alerting the immune system to the presence of cellular distress or injury. DAMPs can include various molecules such as heat shock proteins, ATP, DNA fragments, and components of the extracellular matrix. Similar to PAMPs, DAMPs can activate the NF-kappa-B signaling pathway when released or exposed to the extracellular environment. DAMPs can interact with specific cell surface receptors or intracellular sensors, PRRs, including toll-like receptors, RAGE, receptor for advanced glycation end products, or AGEs, and others. I am planning a whole show on AGEs, another topic you need to know about. Upon binding of DAMPs to their respective PRRs, a signaling cascade is initiated, activating downstream signaling molecules, leading to the activation of the IKB kinase complex. The activated IKK complex phosphorylates the inhibitor protein IKB, targeting it for degradation. As a result, NF-kappa-B dimers are released and translocate from the cytoplasm into the nucleus, where they bind to specific DNA sequences and modulate the transcription of various genes involved in inflammatory and immune responses. The activation of NF-kappa-B by DAMPs plays a crucial role in regulating and initiating the expression of pro-inflammatory cytokines, chemokines, adhesion molecules, and other factors involved in tissue repair, immune cell recruitment, and in inflammation resolution. This process highlights the significance of DAMP PRR interactions in activating the NF-kappa-B pathway, contributing to the orchestration of immune responses in the context of tissue damage, injury, and stress. Speaking of stress, number 4, stress-inducing factors. Stress-inducing factors encompass a wide array of stimuli that impose strain on cells or tissues, leading to perturbations in cellular homeostasis. When cells encounter these stress-inducing factors, they respond by activating signaling pathways, including the NF-kappa-B pathway, as a part of their adaptive and defensive mechanisms. What are some examples of stress-inducing factors? Oxidative stress, caused by an imbalance between the production of reactive oxygen species and the cell's antioxidant defense system, can activate NF-kappa-B. Reactive oxygen species can directly or indirectly trigger the activation of upstream signaling molecules such as protein kinases, leading to the activation of the IKK complex and subsequent NF-kappa-B activation. This activation contributes to the expression of antioxidant enzymes, inflammatory mediators, and apoptotic regulators, influencing cellular responses to oxidative stress. Ultraviolet radiation exposure, predominantly UVB, can also trigger NF-kappa-B activation. UV radiation leads to DNA damage, generation of ROS, reactive oxygen species, and activation of various receptors, including toll-like receptors and RAGEs, initiating signaling cascades that converge on the NF-kappa-B pathway. Activation of NF-kappa-B in response to UV radiation can modulate the expression of genes involved in inflammation, DNA repair, apoptosis, and cellular proliferation. Mechanical stress, such as shear stress or tension exerted on cells or tissues, can activate NF-kappa-B through mechanosensitive receptors and signaling pathways. This activation may be involved in inflammatory responses, tissue remodeling, and adaptation to mechanical stress. Additionally, exposure to pollutants, certain toxins, or chemicals can stimulate NF-kappa-B activation. Air pollutants, heavy metals, cigarette smoke, and environmental toxins can trigger inflammatory responses by engaging specific receptors or inducing cellular damage, thereby activating NF-kappa-B-mediated gene expression. Understanding these mechanisms is crucial for illuminating the impact of stress on cellular function and for exploring potential therapeutic strategies targeting NF-kappa-B-related pathways in stress-related diseases. Number 5, viral infections. Viral infections like herpes simplex virus, HSV, human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, and hepatitis B and C viruses can activate the NF-kappa-B pathway during infection. HSV is a double-stranded DNA virus known for causing oral or genital lesions. During infection, HSV engages with cellular receptors and triggers the activation of NF-kappa-B. The viral entry and replication process, particularly the expression of specific viral proteins, stimulate NF-kappa-B activation. NF-kappa-B activation by HSV is essential for viral replication and modulating host cell responses during infection. HIV, the causative agent of AIDS, targets immune cells, primarily CD4 cells, weakening the immune system. HIV-induced NF-kappa-B activation enhances viral transcription and replication. Persistent NF-kappa-B activation by HIV contributes to chronic immune activation and inflammation, which are hallmarks of HIV infection and contribute to disease progression. Both hepatitis B and hepatitis C infect liver cells, leading to acute and chronic hepatitis, cirrhosis, and hepatocellular carcinoma. NF-kappa-B activation by both hepatitis B and hepatitis C is implicated in regulating the balance between viral clearance and chronic infection and in mediating liver inflammation and disease progression. What about COVID-19? COVID-19 is an area of active investigation, so the jury is still out at this time. It is noted, however, that in severe cases of COVID-19, the immune system can go into overdrive, causing a cytokine storm. This happens when the body releases too many inflammatory molecules. Researchers think that a protein made by the virus, SARS-CoV-2, could be causing this storm by activating NF-kappa-B. In a study linked in the show notes, the scientists found that certain proteins produced SARS-CoV-2, like ORF3A and ORF7A, can switch on NF-kappa-B. Testing showing that ORF3 can make NF-kappa-B more active. They also found that blocking NF-kappa-B using a specific inhibitor stopped ORF3A from activating NF-kappa-B. This suggests that ORF3A works at an early stage of the NF-kappa-B process. Number 6, environmental factors. Environmental factors encompass a broad range of elements present in our surroundings that can influence human health and the functioning of biological symptoms. Yes, I did mention environmental factors in number 4, but this really deserves a number all its own. These factors include pollutants in the air, water, soil, exposure to heavy metals, UV radiation, dietary components, and various chemicals commonly found in everyday life. Components of air pollution such as particle matter, ozone, nitrogen dioxide, sulfur dioxide, and volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, have been linked to NF-kappa-B activation. Inhalation of these pollutants can trigger oxidative stress and inflammation in the respiratory system, leading to the activation of NF-kappa-B and subsequent expression of pro-inflammatory mediators, exacerbating respiratory conditions and contributing to systemic inflammation. I am taken back to a few weeks ago and that truck, the one we were test driving, and how sick I became, how sick the both of us became. The inhalation of those pollutants in that truck started the inflammatory cascade, which means our immune system got triggered. I am still healing from that experience. I have been focusing heavily on down-regulating my inflammatory response, with one method being modulating NF-kappa B. We will get into these tips and tricks in a few. Exposure to heavy metals like lead, mercury, cadmium, and arsenic, either through environmental contamination or occupational exposure, can activate NF-kappa B. These metals induce oxidative stress, disrupt cellular redox balance, and stimulate inflammatory responses, leading to NF-kappa B activation and the production of inflammatory cytokines. We already talked about UV radiation earlier. Certain dietary components, such as saturated fatty acids, sugar, and processed foods, can promote NF-kappa B activation. Consumption of these dietary factors can lead to metabolic imbalances, inflammation, and oxidative stress, influencing NF-kappa B signaling in various tissues and contributing to chronic diseases like obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disorders. Exposure to various chemicals found in pesticides, industrial pollutants, and other environmental toxins can activate NF-kappa B. These substances can disrupt cellular function, induce oxidative stress, trigger inflammation, leading to NF-kappa B-mediated immune responses and potentially contributing to the development of chronic diseases. Understanding how environmental factors influence NF-kappa B signaling is critical, as NF-kappa B activation plays a significant role in mediating inflammatory responses and immune regulation. Research focusing on these interactions provides insights into how environmental exposures can contribute to chronic diseases and guides the development of strategies to mitigate their impact on human health. Number 7, metabolic factors. Metabolic factors encompass various elements related to metabolism and cellular energy regulation that profoundly impact overall health. Dysregulation of metabolic processes can significantly influence the activation of the NF-kappa B signaling pathway, linking metabolic disturbances to inflammation and disease development. Friends, I'm sensing a list within a list. I've got 5 metabolic factors to consider. Number 1, free fatty acids. Elevated levels of free fatty acids, particularly saturated fatty acids like palmitate and stearate, can induce NF-kappa B activation. Excessive levels of free fatty acids in the bloodstream, a condition known as hyperlipidemia or hypertriglyceridemia, can result from various factors related to metabolism, lifestyle, diet, and certain medical conditions. Excessive free fatty acids in circulation, often seen in conditions like obesity or insulin resistance, triggers cellular stress, endoplasmic reticulum stress, and oxidative stress, leading to NF-kappa B-mediated inflammatory responses in various tissues. Number 2, glucose fluctuations. Fluctuations in glucose levels, particularly high glucose levels seen in diabetes or insulin resistance, can activate NF-kappa B. Hyperglycemia induces oxidative stress, formation of those advanced glycation end products, or AGEs, and mitochondrial dysfunction, contributing to NF-kappa B activation and subsequent inflammation in tissues like blood vessels, kidneys, and nerves. Number 3, advanced glycation end products, or AGEs. AGEs are compounds formed by the non-enzymatic reaction of sugars with proteins and lipids. Elevated AGEs, often seen in diabetes and aging, can activate NF-kappa B through receptor-mediated pathways like RAGEs, leading to inflammation and tissue damage. No worries, friends, that dedicated episode on AGEs is coming your way soon. Number 4, obesity-associated factors. Adipose tissue in obesity becomes inflamed, releasing inflammatory cytokines and adipokines. This chronic low-grade inflammation activates NF-kappa-B and contributes to systemic inflammation, linking obesity to various metabolic disorders, cardiovascular diseases, and insulin resistance. Last but certainly not least for our metabolic factors list, number 5, mitochondrial dysfunction. Are you connecting the dots? Dysfunctional mitochondria can produce increased level of reactive oxygen species, triggering NF-kappa-B activation. Mitochondrial dysfunction is associated with various metabolic diseases and contributes to the chronic inflammatory state. The activation of NF-kappa-B by metabolic factors establishes a link between metabolic dysregulation and inflammation, contributing to the pathogenesis of several diseases, including metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, and certain cancers. Understanding the intricate connections between metabolic disturbances and NF-kappa-B signaling provides insights into the mechanisms underlying these diseases and offers potential avenues for therapeutic interventions aimed at modulating NF-kappa-B activity to mitigate inflammation and associated metabolic disorders. To close out the first list, number 8, physical exercise. Intense or prolonged physical activity can induce NF-kappa-B activation transiently as part of the body's response to exercise-induced stress. I think about this when I reflect back on my overtraining days. Now, when I engage in more intense or prolonged exercise, I think about how I can care for my body throughout the rest of the day. As an example, I work out every morning. I look forward to it. Some days, it's just stretching, like this morning. I did a quick 10-minute stretch because my husband and I are planning on riding our bikes in the woods later on today. I stayed up later than usual last night. I love dancing. There was a show and we got home around 10:30 p.m., which is very late for this gal. I ensured I got a solid 8 hours of sleep last night and I'm taking it easy throughout the day so I don't overstress my system upregulating inflammation. The activation of NF-kappa-B by these stimuli leads to the liberation of NF-kappa-B complex from its inhibitor, I-kappa-B, allowing it to translocate to the nucleus, modulate the expression of genes involved in various biological processes like immune responses, inflammation, cell survival, and proliferation. NF-kappa-B's role in initiating and resolving inflammation is crucial for the immune response. It helps in promoting the release of inflammatory mediators while also regulating the resolution phase to prevent excessive tissue damage. NF-kappa-B facilitates the expression of genes involved in tissue repair and regeneration. NF-kappa-B plays a dual role in cell fate decisions. It promotes cell survival by activating anti-apoptotic genes, protecting cells from death signals. Conversely, under certain conditions, NF-kappa-B can induce the expression of pro-apoptotic genes, contributing to programmed cell death as part of immune regulation. The signaling pathway of NF-kappa-B holds significant importance in numerous essential immunological transcriptional processes. These encompass the innate immune cells' inflammatory reactions to microbes and viruses, the formation and activation of adaptive immune cells, and the establishment of secondary lymphoid organs. The multifaceted roles of NF-kappa-B in regulating immune responses highlight its significance in both innate and adaptive immunity. Its ability to modulate gene expression in response to diverse stimuli ensures a well-coordinated and balanced immune reaction, crucial for protecting the host against pathogens, maintaining tissue integrity, and managing immune-related disorders. Understanding NF-kappa-B's immunological prowess continues to offer insights into therapeutic interventions for immune-related diseases and infections. NF-kappa-B's dysregulation has been associated with a spectrum of disorders spanning diverse medical fields, in autoimmune conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, and psoriasis. NF-kappa-B's prolonged activation contributes to chronic inflammation and tissue damage. In infectious diseases such as HIV, hepatitis B and C, and certain bacterial infections, aberrant NF-kappa-B signaling plays a role in the pathogenesis and persistence of these infections. Cancer encompassing breast, prostate, lung, colorectal cancers, leukemia, and lymphoma exhibit NF-kappa-B overactivity linked to tumor progression and resistance to therapies. Moreover, neurodegenerative conditions like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases, along with multiple sclerosis and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, have shown associations with NF-kappa-B dysregulation contributing to neuronal damage and inflammation. Inflammatory disorders, including chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, asthma, and sepsis, also display NF-kappa-B involvement in perpetuating inflammatory responses. Metabolic disorders like diabetes, obesity-related inflammation, cardiovascular diseases such as atherosclerosis, myocardial infarction, and heart failure, as well as skin disorders like atopic dermatitis and eczema, all show varying degrees of NF-kappa-B influence, underscoring its significance in the development and progression of these conditions. The moment you have all been waiting for. How do we modulate NF-kappa-B activity? Should we just switch it off? Wouldn't this be better? I will give you a moment to think about this. Time's up. Should we switch it off? Not just modulate, but attempt to block this pathway. Is this a good idea? I sense you know the answer. We need inflammation. We need an immune response for our system to function properly. What we don't need, however, is a dysregulated or dysfunctional system. This is where modulating this pathway can be a great benefit. I've got 15 ways of modulating NF-kappa-B. We will be focusing on nutraceuticals, not pharmaceuticals. There are pharmaceuticals out there designed to block this pathway. We are looking to modulate. Let the list begin. This is not an exhaustive list, nor is it ordered in any specific way. Number one, ginger. Ginger contains bioactive compounds like gingerol and shogaol. Good grief. Can I not pronounce anything correctly? Probably not. Anyway, these bioactive compounds possess anti-inflammatory properties and can inhibit NF-kappa-B activation by suppressing IKK activity. I add about a 1-inch piece of fresh ginger to my daily smoothie. I find the spiciness very satisfying, and I'm helping modulate inflammation in the process. Number two, resveratrol. Present in red wine, red grapes, and berries, resveratrol can inhibit NF-kappa-B activation by suppressing IKK activity, preventing I-kappa-B degradation, and reducing the expression of NF-kappa-B target genes. I do love a glass of organic dry red wine. Number three, curcumin. Found in turmeric, curcumin has potent anti-inflammatory properties and can inhibit NF-kappa-B activation by blocking its translocation into the nucleus and suppressing its DNA binding activity. I usually opt for the powdered spice, put a few shakes into my smoothie. I always add a pinch of black pepper to help activate the compounds. Number four, dark chocolate. Dark chocolate derived from cocoa beans contains flavonoids that exhibit potent anti-inflammatory properties, potentially modulating NF-kappa-B signaling these flavonoids seem to hinder NF-kappa-B activation by impeding the phosphorylation, preventing NF-kappa-B's movement into the nucleus and subsequent gene expression of pro-inflammatory factors. By scavenging free radicals and reducing oxidative stress, dark chocolate flavonoids indirectly influence NF-kappa-B activity as well, which could help in regulating immune responses and mitigating inflammatory processes. Some evidence suggests that the compounds found in dark chocolate might also benefit vascular health by inhibiting NF-kappa-B mediated vascular inflammation and improving endothelial function. As if I needed a push to eat dark chocolate. Number 5, milk thistle, also known as silymarin. Silymarin is a compound derived from the seeds of the milk thistle plant. You may see the names used interchangeably. Milk thistle can inhibit NF-kappa-B activation by suppressing IKK activity and modulating NF-kappa-B dependent gene expression. Milk thistle is available in tea form or as a supplement. Milk thistle has a plethora of other health benefits we won't go into today. I do take milk thistle in supplement form on a daily basis. Maybe we will do an episode on this very interesting and beneficial nutraceutical. Number 6, blueberries. Blueberries, renowned for their rich content of flavonoids, particularly anthocyanins, have garnered attention for their potential to modulate NF-kappa-B signaling, a pivotal regulator of inflammatory responses. Anthocyanins found in blueberries exhibit potent antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, possibly influencing NF-kappa-B activity. Research suggests that these compounds may attenuate NF-kappa-B activation by interfering with the signaling pathways involved in NF-kappa-B translocation and DNA binding, thereby reducing the expression of pro-inflammatory cytokines and other mediators. I typically add half a cup of blueberries to my morning smoothie. So tasty. Number 7, green tea. Compounds like EGCG in green tea possess anti-inflammatory properties and can inhibit NF-kappa-B activation by suppressing IKK activity and inhibiting I-kappa-B degradation. Green tea can be taken in tea form, extracts, or supplements. I tried to love green tea. I tried different varieties, even added a raspberry tea leaf to help with flavor. I love bitter things, but this one is hard for me. I could have used the tea as a base in my smoothie, but I love lots of drink options. I am a thirsty girl. I got an organic green tea extract and have been making my own energy drinks. To very cold water, I add in the green tea extract and either grapefruit extract or raspberry extract and used my carbonated water maker and whip up this delicious drink that I sip on in the morning. Yum. Number 8, vitamin D3. Vitamin D3, a crucial nutrient synthesized in the skin upon exposure to sunlight and obtained from certain foods and supplements, has been implicated in modulating NF-kappa-B signaling, influencing various aspects of immune function and inflammation. Research suggests that active vitamin D3, known as calcitriol, may exert regulatory effects on NF-kappa-B activation. Calcitriol has been shown to inhibit NF-kappa-B signaling by different mechanisms, including interference with NF-kappa-B nuclear translocation and suppressing the expression of genes involved in the inflammatory cascade. Adequate levels of vitamin D3 have been associated with reduced inflammatory responses, highlighting its potential role in managing inflammatory conditions and supporting overall immune health. I am a fan of testing vitamin D levels rather than blindly supplementing. I test vitamin D a lot in my practice, and many are deficient, so this is very important to consider. Number 8, omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA in particular. Present in fish oil, flax oil, and certain nuts and seeds, and of course, fish, omega-3 fatty acids have been shown to inhibit NF-kappa-B activation by reducing IKK activity and preventing I-kappa-B degradation. For more info on omega-3s, I will refer you to episode 39, where we get deep into omega-3 and also omega-6 fatty acids. Number 10, Boswellia. Extracts from Boswellia serrata gum resin contain boswellic acids that exhibit anti-inflammatory effects by inhibiting NF-kappa-B activation and reducing the expression of pro-inflammatory cytokines. Boswellia supplements are available in various forms, including capsules, tablets, and extracts. As I always say, the brand, the dose, and the length of time matter. Number 11, magnesium. Magnesium, an essential mineral involved in numerous physiological processes, has shown potential in modulating NF-kappa-B signaling. Studies suggest that adequate levels of magnesium may exert inhibitory effects on NF-kappa-B activation. Magnesium appears to interfere with the upstream pathways that trigger NF-kappa-B activation, possibly by blocking the activation of IKK, thereby preventing I-kappa-B degradation and subsequent NF-kappa-B translocation to the nucleus. Additionally, magnesium's role in maintaining cellular homeostasis and reducing oxidative stress could indirectly impact NF-kappa-B signaling. Leafy green vegetables like spinach, kale, and Swiss chard provide ample amounts and can be enjoyed in salads, smoothies, or cooked dishes. Nuts and seeds like almonds, cashews, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds offer convenient snacking options or add a nutritional boost to yogurt or salads. Whole grains like brown rice, quinoa, and oats serve as a base for meals in baking or as a breakfast choice containing notable magnesium content. Beans, lentils, chickpeas, and peas contribute to magnesium intake and easily complement soups, stews, or salads. Fish varieties like mackerel, salmon, one of my favorites, and halibut offer decent magnesium levels, adding nutritional value to various recipes. Avocado, known for its healthy fats, also contains magnesium and can be included in sandwiches, salads, or used as guacamole. While not as high in magnesium, bananas provide a portable snack with a modest magnesium content and also potassium. Surprisingly, dark chocolate with high cocoa content contributes to magnesium intake, offering a small boost while satisfying sweet cravings. Another perk for our dark chocolate friend. It is estimated that 40 to 50% of individuals are magnesium deficient, so supplementation may be warranted. It's not surprising that magnesium has many other health benefits, so you may see improvements with a variety of symptoms like constipation, headaches, or poor sleep. I will just add here, there are multiple different forms, types of magnesium, so partner with your healthcare practitioner to select the right one. Number 12, ashwagandha. Ashwagandha, an adaptogenic herb with potential medicinal properties, has been explored for its ability to modulate NF-kappa-B signaling, playing a crucial role in immune responses and inflammation. Studies suggest that bioactive compounds present in ashwagandha, such as withanolides, may exhibit anti-inflammatory effects by influencing NF-kappa-B activity. These compounds appear to suppress NF-kappa-B activation by inhibiting the phosphorylation and subsequent degradation of I-kappa-B, consequently preventing NF-kappa-B translocation into the nucleus and downregulating the expression of pro-inflammatory cytokines and enzymes. Ashwagandha's modulation of NF-kappa-B signaling holds promise in regulating inflammatory responses, potentially offering therapeutic benefits for various inflammatory conditions. I also happen to love ashwagandha for thyroid health and also adrenal health. I like to use the powdered form, easy to throw into my smoothie. My smoothie has a lot of pretty fantastic stuff in it. Number 13, alpha-lipoic acid. Alpha-lipoic acid, or ALA, a potent antioxidant compound with diverse biological activities, has been studied for its potential in modulating NF-kappa-B signaling. Research suggests that ALA exerts anti-inflammatory effects by interfering with NF-kappa-B activation. ALA appears to inhibit NF-kappa-B by suppressing the phosphorylation and degradation of NF-kappa-B's inhibitor, thereby preventing NF-kappa-B's translocation into the nucleus and subsequent transcriptional activity of pro-inflammatory genes. Additionally, ALA's antioxidant properties contribute to reducing oxidative stress, which indirectly impacts NF-kappa-B signaling. These findings suggest ALA may downregulate NF-kappa-B-mediated inflammation, making it a promising candidate for managing inflammatory conditions. Various foods contain ALA in varying amounts. Leafy greens like spinach offer a modest quantity of ALA alongside cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and Brussels sprouts, which contain small but notable quantities. Additionally, organ meats like liver, kidney, and heart contain decent amounts of ALA. Some studies suggest that tomatoes may contain trace amounts of this compound. My favorite way of getting in a healthy dose of ALA is consuming foods like chia seeds and flax seeds. You can also take ALA as a supplement, and this may be very beneficial in particular for vegetarians and vegans. Number 14, quercetin. Quercetin has anti-inflammatory effects and can modulate NF-kappa-B signaling by inhibiting IKK activity, interfering with NF-kappa-B DNA binding activity. Some notable sources of quercetin include fruits like apples, berries such as strawberries, blueberries, and cranberries, citrus fruits like oranges and lemons, cherries and grapes, vegetables like onions, shallots, broccoli, kale, spinach, tomatoes, and red leaf lettuce also contain quercetin. Additionally, capers and certain herbs like dill, cilantro, and thyme provide varying amounts of this beneficial flavonoid. Of course, it is also available as a supplement. Number 15, last on the list today, is actually my favorite, sulforaphane. Sulforaphane, a potent bioactive compound found in cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts, has garnered attention for its potential to modulate NF-kappa-B signaling, influencing inflammatory pathways. Studies indicate that sulforaphane exhibits anti-inflammatory effects by interfering with NF-kappa-B activation. It operates by impeding the phosphorylation and degradation of NF-kappa-B's inhibitor, which in turn prevents NF-kappa-B's translocation into the nucleus and subsequent translocation of pro-inflammatory genes. Moreover, sulforaphane acts as an activator of NRF2, another transcription factor we mentioned earlier involved in antioxidant responses, thereby indirectly impacting NF-kappa-B signaling by reducing oxidative stress and inflammation. If you are interested in a dedicated show on NRF2, let me know and I will give you a shout out. These findings suggest that sulforaphane possesses the ability to downregulate NF-kappa-B activity, offering potential therapeutic implications in managing inflammatory conditions and supporting overall health. Friends, eat your cruciferous veggies. I eat some form of cruciferous vegetables every day. Well, actually, many different cruciferous vegetables every day, but I also mix it up. It's important to have variety in our diets. I have been growing microgreens, arugula, broccoli, and radish. It is so incredibly easy and inexpensive to do at home. I threw a very large handful or two into my daily smoothie, and I can feel the difference. You can buy this in supplement form, and depending on your situation, you are unique and different. This may be advisable. All of the nutraceuticals I mentioned have a plethora of benefits expanding beyond that of modulating NF-kappa-B. I am such a nerd and love diving into topics like this. There are many, many other NF-kappa-B modulators out there. Let me know if you want a part two. We can go through more nutraceuticals that can help modulate this pathway. And on that note, I hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Drop me a comment. Let me know what you think. If you learned something today, share this episode with a friend, family member, or coworker. If you're not already subscribed to the show, why not? Hit that follow button along with the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I've got a great year ahead of episodes coming your way. If you have an idea for a show, follow the links in the show notes. I would love to hear from you. Also, get on the newsletter list. So many of you have reached out to me wanting to work with me. Some have even signed up for a free consult via my website. And while I have thoroughly enjoyed reading your emails and meeting you through my telehealth platform, if you do not currently live in Indiana, I am not at the liberty to be your healthcare practitioner at this time. I am in the process of creating educational material that can transcend state and international lines in the form of masterclasses. I'm looking to bring into the fold a certified nutrition counselor and a certified yoga instructor. There will be special beta pricing as the curriculum develops. There is a waitlist, and I recommend if you're interested reaching out to me. There are links in the show notes. You can send me a DM, email. I will add you to the waitlist. I am very passionate about health and wellness, getting optimized. I have been on my own wellness journey for quite some time and want to bring as many people with me on this journey towards better health. Thanks so much for spending time with me today, and I will see you very soon. Bye, friends.